Her, the podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind, her body, her life. It's all about her.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and welcome to episode 239 of Her, the podcast where you'll hear the naked truth about her mind, her body, her life, and today, her stress in the era of COVID-19. Yeah, this is what we're talking about. This is the theme you're going to be hearing in so many of the upcoming podcasts, because we're going to be helping you with tools and techniques and tips about how to navigate these treacherous waters, because this is a global pandemic and we all have to pay attention to something so important as mental health. We have an amazing show coming up, and before we begin, just know that this episode is made possible by our wonderful friends at Smarty Pants Women's Vitamins, the delicious once-a-day gummies that contain all of the essential vitamins, minerals, and omega oils customized just for women. To learn more, hop on over to SmartyPantsVitamins.com, and please, 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 everyone out there, be taking your vitamins, especially in this day and age. All right, and here's your first official reminder to click on iTunes after this episode to rate and review the show, because we love your feedback and we're trying to keep up with all of your questions and inquiries about how to navigate these amazingly difficult times. So, without further ado, I think one of the most important themes that we could really address here on the Her podcast is how to manage stress in the extraordinary time of the COVID-19 pandemic, which is gripping the world. This is not going away tomorrow. All the experts have noted that we're in this for the duration, that this is stressful at so many different levels. So I can't think of anyone better to help all of us think through strategies to be able to manage this than Dr. Mark Nemiroff. Dr. Nemiroff and I have known each other for many years. I consider him to be a go-to for all things stress management. You know, it's interesting. He had a psychotherapy practice for children, adolescents, and adults where he addressed so many of these kinds of crisis-oriented issues. And he's been nationally recognized for his work in mental illness and for improving the quality of mental health services to the communities that he has served. He's also a globalist. He's an expert in psychotherapy who has traveled the world, and in doing so, has worked with slum families, street children, you know, parents, multi-generational families, and just an amazingly rich background. And that's why I believe that Dr. Nemiroff can really help us think this through, because this is just now occurring and people are just now wrapping their heads around the reality. Dr. Nemiroff, welcome to the Her podcast.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be talking with you.
All right. Where do we start? You know, here we are, we're listening every single day. We have these downloads from the National Task Force led by Dr. Anthony Fauci, who clearly is one of the world's experts on infectious disease, and a host of other experts as well. And we're looking at not just a global pandemic, we're looking at a global financial crisis as well. So it's like we're getting slapped twice in the head. And people, I think, are now feeling like this is all surreal. Like maybe we'll wake up in the morning, it'll all be different. And they're now beginning to show signs of stress. Help us begin to work through this, Dr. Nemiroff.
I think a good place to start, rather than the social isolation, is with how do we live with uncertainty? We don't know how long this will last. We're told a long time, but I don't know what a long time means. Does that mean months? Does that mean a year? We don't know. And how do we manage that? We're hearing from various people on the news. We should do this. No, we should do that. This is what's going to happen medically. Well, maybe not, and we don't know. We can get testing. No, we can't get testing. And so what that means, the uncertainty means that we feel that we're not in control. And in fact, to a certain extent, we're not in control. We can't control the virus out there. We can do something for ourselves. But before we do that, we have to accept, which is difficult, the uncertainty. We have to live with the idea that, in fact, we don't know. The only certainty is that we don't know. That's tough. And how do we shift to get over there, to that space? And it's even then, it's not a very satisfying space. You know, what do we say? Okay, this is uncertain. It's going to stay uncertain. I'm fine with that. Well, no, nobody is fine with that. But it does help to take a look at the whole picture. I am in this situation. I have less control than I did, but I do have control over what I do now. So we have to look at the parts that we do have control over. What can we do for ourselves? And stress that rather than obsessing about how long, how much more, what are they saying, who do I believe? That's not a productive path to go down.
What do you say to yourself? I mean, is there a self-dialogue? You know, this is a podcast that's really addressing women's particular take on this. And as you're well aware, as an expert in the field, women are anxious beings. How do we control our, our anxiety around all of this, and anxiety leading to panic? How do we deal with that?
Anxiety often, maybe most often, comes from fear. And if we can recognize, I am frightened, and then think rather than feel, how much of what I'm afraid of right now in this moment is real? How much is I'm afraid because I don't know? If we can recognize, if we can label that specific thing, what are we afraid of? What am I thinking of? We can separate out what seems reasonable from what seems unreasonable. The other thing to do with anxiety and stress is to look at what we do have control over. We don't have control over what's happening to the virus in the world. We do have control over what can we do about that personally. What can I do? I can decide that I'm going to self-isolate. That's my decision, as opposed to my being forced into it. It's a shift in the way we look at it. This is my decision. I'm going to stay in, because I don't actually have to stay in, right? I can choose not to, but I'm choosing for safety's sake to do this. This is perhaps, for me, the right thing to do. Then we take a deep breath. And what's next? Well, what else is in my control? How am I going to deal with groceries? Now, that feels out of control until we think and we problem solve it. This is what I'm going to do. And this is my backup. Plan A, plan B. How am I going to spend my time? I've got my groceries figured out. How am I going to spend my time? Am I going to watch the news obsessively, which will increase your stress and increase your anxiety? So we choose how much news and from what source. So what I'm hearing is the most reliable that is available, and I'm tuning out, and this is in my control, all the other news noise. What do I do about physical activity? Because I can't go to the gym, or I can't take my walk, I can't take my run. What do we do? Then we think about, of my various exercises that I do out in the world, which one of those transfers to the space in which I'm living, which is a contained space, it's not outside. Which of those exercises fit here, which don't? What can I substitute for those that don't? And then, like with a trainer, in what order do I do them so that I get the most benefit? All that is in our control. The fact that we can't go to the gym is not. Turning our home into as much as an easy gym is in our control. Eating is the same thing. What do I eat? What do I order in? If I'm taking a run to the grocery store, how am I going to manage that? Do you see? I'm working with what we can control. And the more we think about what we can control, the anxiety will go down. There'll still be some because there's a virus out there. But we're creating an environment that is as safe as we can make it and as adaptive as we can make it. And what we're listening to and how we're eating and how we're exercising and how we're spending our time.
Interesting. I love the take on this because it's empowering in a time when you're, you know, really dealing with uncertainty.
Yes.
So it's sort of like if you have a disease or some condition, instead of dwelling on what you can't do, spend more time thinking about what you can do. If anything, what we're doing here is creating for ourselves a new normal.
That's correct.
This is what the new normal is going to doesn't that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And we don't know how long it is, but this is the new normal. For now, this is the way things are.
And you have
and
to redefine
it. Fighting against that is unhelpful.
Exactly. And saying, woe is me. I wish it was different. Well, newsflash, it's not. And, and this is why, I don't know how you feel, but I personally know Dr. Fauci because I spent many years at the National Institutes of Health in a different institute, but we're all in the same building and everyone bangs into each other all the time. And, this is not Dr. Fauci's first rodeo. I mean, he's been through it all, starting with HIV, working your way up, right? And, I one of the things I find, and I love your point about managing screen time, and that means iPads, and computers and iPhones, not just, television and whatever.
That's right.
Is that I'm only listening to those people I find to have high levels of credibility who are trusted within their fields as experts, who are level-headed, who are calm, and who are coming to the table with strategies that will help us with the next steps, because we're not sure what the next steps, are going to be in our own lives. So I'm going to trust someone like that. I'm not going to listen to a bunch of political pundits and people who try to politicize all of this. Anyway, it's like enough already. I'm a physician.
Yes, I'm much more interested in facts than I am in opinion.
Exactly. And I'm evidence-based also, as you are. What does that mean? That means I'm going to listen to someone who is working with excellent science as best we can access it. Some of these things haven't yet been studied. Remember, this is a novel virus. It's never been seen in humans before. And because of that, it's not like we can say, well, it's the flu, you know, and we kind of have done the flu rodeo already enough times to kind of get a general gist for where the flu's coming from. Now, this is actually an interesting virus because it's a virus that's been sort of, you know, within a family that's been associated with simple colds and things for years, million years ago. And then all of a sudden, it takes on a very different persona, you know, and mutates from when it hops from animals to humans. And this stuff's been probably evolving for quite some time, and then off and running it goes. So we have to be patient with the fact that it's going to take us at least a year. I think the estimate's been 18 months to get a vaccine, and that we just have to somehow use the best facts that we've got and the experiences of countries that have preceded us in the evolution of the disease. What can we learn? You know, how can we apply all of that? Those are the people I'm going to listen to, and I'm certainly not going to do that 24/7. That's stoking anxiety fires. I don't think that anybody should be doing, to say the least. What kind of self-destructive things that people oftentimes fall into? What are the rabbit holes and the slippery, slides that people get into when they're feeling anxious, stuck at home, maybe socially isolated? What do they do? What should they watch out for?
One thing to watch out for is getting stuck on a thought or a particular worry, like a car on the ice or in the snow, and the wheels are spinning, and they're digging up a rut, and we go around and around, and we do that with situations like this. I watch the news, I'm going to worry about this. I turn the news off, I'm still worried. I'm worrying about what they said. Well, he said this, and I think it through. No, but he said this, and I think it through. And I'm going nowhere, like the car in the snow. I'm going nowhere. So, again, when we can recognize, oh, look what you're doing. I keep going back to this, not helpful. And so then we need to find a way to change the subject. So we change the subject. There are several different ways. We change quite intentionally. I'm going to think about something else. Scarlett O'Hara, to a point, had it right. I'm not going to think about that now. I'll think about that tomorrow. Because nothing new is going to happen today. We go around and around. So we can try to change the way we're thinking by recognizing that we're doing it. And then we change what we are physically doing wherever we are. So I'm thinking, and it's the same thing. I'm not problem solving. I'm just going over it again and again, the carousel of the mind. So I change the subject in my mind, and then I get up and go, what am I going to do now? It could be mundane. So I'm going to clean the mirrors. I'm going to cook. I'm going to put things in order, whatever it is, it does. It doesn't mind, doesn't matter how every day it is. I'm going to get on the phone and talk to my friends. I'm going to set up a video conference with a whole bunch of my friends. I have a colleague who, I was just talking with her. What she did, she self-isolated at home. What she did is send an email to people on the street to get together at 6 in the evening, every evening. She sends out an email, who's there, who's available. And a dozen people come out in the street, stay 6 feet away from each other, and talk. And last night they were singing and dancing, along, right 6 feet apart. And they had the sense of community, and this is a whole lot better than staying home worrying about what if, what if, what if.
Oh, I love the use of high tech, like Zoom and, you know, everything else that we could possibly think about to be able to stay connected. Especially, I love it when we can actually see each other, whether it's FaceTime, Skype, Zoom, you know, Google Hangout. I mean, there's so many different ways to do this, where you can see each other, wave at each other and whatever, and talk about nice social distancing. I mean, someone may be 3,000 miles away, and you're kind of giving them all a virtual hug, and you're putting yourself in a situation where you can not feel so lonely, because with loneliness comes also the final topic that I want to run by you, and the whole issue of fear. I can't help but remember the old, you know, adage, you know, the only thing to fear is fear itself. And that was also at a very tough time in history, as you're well aware.
Yeah.
So talk to us about, we've talked about anxiety, we've talked about the whole issue of wrapping your head around a surreal new normal. But what about fear? How do we rein in fear?
I think a couple of things. One is the fear, like the anxiety, the fear is coming from things we can't control. So I'm afraid of what I can't control. And the sense of helplessness. Helplessness is frightening. And so, again, I'm coming back to the same thing. How do I problem solve this? It is a fact that this virus is there. And I'm worried. I can't say afraid. It doesn't help me. I'm worried about that virus. Thinking about it constantly doesn't help me. So I problem solve. What am I going to do? How am I going to spend my time today? God forbid something starts to happen to me, to someone I know. What do I do? So I have a plan. If this happens, I call this person who's helpful. This is what I do. This is the next thing. Am I frightened? Yes, but then it's really quite specific. It's something that can be problem solved to steps. What do I do next? The more we can specify, get specific, the less free-floating fear that we have.
I love it. And I think that that's really going to help people in a big way. It's so interesting. I've noticed that the community oftentimes is coming together. They have community members, everything from first responders to neighbors and back and forth, helping one another, you know, grocery shop, and to get vital essentials, especially if they have to pick up medicines and back and forth. There was a story just locally where I am, where an older couple, very trusting one apparently, reached outside the window of their car and found someone who they trusted, handed them $100 bill and a grocery list and said, "Can you please go inside and get these items?" And they were just simple items, eggs and, you know, milk and things like that. That person was more than happy to help them out. And now I notice that grocery stores, maybe in your locale as well, are having, for all intent and purposes, a senior hour, which is a time that has been designated. I noticed the Safeways, for instance, are doing this, where people 60 and over can come in and not be exposed to people who are younger and potential carriers. And I think that is another really novel and creative way of being able to define the new normal for something as simple as grocery shopping. I think that these kind of adaptations really help, don't they, Mark?
Absolutely. There's, just to add to what you're saying, some of the grocery stores where I am have developed curbside delivery.
Oh, I love it. Now we're talking.
You email your list and you give them a credit card and they'll assemble it. Then you text them from the car. They come out to the car, put it in the trunk. You pop the trunk. They put it in the trunk. Nobody's touching anybody and you haven't gone into the store.
I love it. It's fantastic. You know, I mean, this is what's really working out there. You know, we're very creative when we need to be, and obviously desperate times, what is it, the mother of invention, as it were, really paraphrasing that to death. And it is just, we need to be able to learn how to to manage stress in a way that doesn't involve self-destructive habits or behaviors, and to be able to self-soothe with a personal dialogue that is more positive, empowering, one that is that gives us a better sense of control in a time of critical uncertainty, quite frankly. And I really feel that your ideas, your tips and tools and techniques here have really helped us grab a hold of these very stressful times with the COVID and give us some hope that, yeah, day by day, step by step, we're going to get through this one way or the other.
Yes, we are.
Yeah. I mean, do you feel that, Mark, as your last thoughts here? What are your thoughts on kind of hope in the midst of all of this uncertainty?
We will get through this. It may or may not be easy. We will get through this because people always get through this, whatever this is. We always do. People come together. People problem solve. Everything. If you think in history, we have gotten through it.
Yep. You're absolutely, you know, I mean, look, I mean, no matter how bad it was out there, the Spanish flu and the whatever, you know, I mean, there's a price to pay, and you want to know something, we're going to have to work it. And what I don't want to hear from anybody is any whining, you know, just make it work for yourself. That's what's going to be incredibly important.
Whining is doing in your own juice. It's not helpful.
Yeah, there's no question about that. Dr. Nemiroff, I can't thank you enough for being on the Herb Podcast and sharing your words of wisdom. I know it's going to help everyone out there. You know, we wake up in the morning and I want everyone to hear this podcast again and again because I know it's going to help them. And everyone out there, please take a minute right now. Run on over to iTunes and rate and review the show because we're sitting here waiting to hear your feedback, your thoughts, your insights, your experiences. We want to know because we're here to help. Why? Well, because we care. And I'm Dr. Pam Peek, the host of the Herb Podcast. Follow me on Facebook at Dr. Pam Peek or Twitter at Pam Peek MD. And remember to catch every single episode of the Herb Podcast on iTunes or Radio MD. Thanks for listening today. Stay safe and stay well.